Okay, here we go with the last parak of Yonah, Yonah Parak Dalad, the fourth and final parak of this amazing story. Again, as we know, and as I mentioned, there is so much has been written on Yonah. We're just getting a little tip of the iceberg, going through some of the psukim. But this fourth parak is somewhat unusual, because one would think that the first three prakim are done, and it's all about tshuva, and Nineveh has done tshuva and is done. Rav Rivlin has a whole sefer on Yonah. We'll mention one of his ideas a little bit later, but he points out that really this seems to be a whole extension, and you don't even need it. You don't even need this parak. Like, what's the purpose of this parak? What happens in this parak? Yonah feels bad. He's upset about something. He davens to Hashem and says, "This is exactly why I left, and therefore why do you do this? And I'd rather die. I'd rather die than this." Hashem says, "Why are you so upset? What's the problem? Why are you so upset?" Then what happens? Again, it's a mysterious parak. Yonah leaves the city and builds a hut to protect him, and he has some shade, and then a kikai and a certain type of tall plant grows and gives Yonah shade, and Yonah is very happy about the shade. And then the next morning, a worm comes and eats this kikayon, and it gets very hot, and he faints, and he's about to die, and he says, "Ah, let me die instead." Again, second time in the parak, Hashem says to him again, the same lashon, "Ahetiv charalacha, are you upset?" So Yonah says, "Yeah, I'm very upset." Hashem says, "Well, you're upset that the kikayon died, or that was it wilted. But you're not upset that Nineveh would be killed?" And that's the end of the parak. And that's the end of the sefer. The Yalkut has an answer of Yonah, but that's the end of the sefer. There's a lot underneath the surface here. We'll touch on a few ideas, but this is the mysterious parak that ends Sefer Yonah. So, again, we start off with the beginning of the story. Vayera, and really, this is, as is known, the only one of the Treyasar that is really a whole story, as we read it on Mincha of Yom Kippur, as we know. But this is the final parak. Vayera el Yonah ra'a gedola. And it was very bad. Yonah was very upset. Vayichaloni was even angry. So what was he angry about? What was he upset about? So what just happened at the end of the previous parak? That they did tshuva. The Nineveh did tshuva, and Hashem had changed his mind, so to speak, kaviyachol. The Machlokas, the Eben Ezra, says that it was after 40 days this story happened. The Abarbanel doesn't like that. The Abarbanel says if that happened, that's true, then the Pesukim are out of order. No, it was, as the other Mepharshim, the Radak, I think, notes, that he already received a nevuah, that they started changing their actions, that Hashem already told him that he wasn't going to destroy the people. He quotes the Abarbanel, quotes the Eben Ezra, and says, "Ve'ino nachon, v'yoser nachon lefari shemiyad achara kruz, sha'asa hanavi, his'oru anshe ninve, l'tshuva." Right after he made the announcement, they started doing tshuva. "V'odiyah Hashem l'navi, shenichem alara, v'yona yatsam na'ir v'chulu," and he left. So he was upset about that. So what was he exactly upset about? So Rashi quotes here, "Amar, achshav yomru ha'akum, shani navi sheker." They're going to say that I'm a Navi Sheker. And that's what he was upset about. So maybe he was worried about the Chil Hashem elements. I'm a Navi Sheker. I'm just going to be like everyone else. So maybe it was more of a general thing. The Malbim notes, based on Psukim, in a few Psukim from now, he says, but that's not true. Right? Their answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically gave Yonah was that a Navi Sheker is only if a Navi says something good and it doesn't happen. But not the opposite. V'chi ayita mistabe al davar tov, says the Malbim. She yatzrel, she yechre lecha, shlo niskaima nevua. Shema ya nevua al heitev, v'lo niskaima. If it was a nevua about something positive and it wasn't mekuyim, oz yuchsaka navi d'navi sheker, ki ayura tov, habay de navi, mukhrach she yiskaye b'kolofan, af shalom yiru ma'aseyem. If the navi says something good is going to happen, then it for sure has to happen, even if the Am does more wicked actions, ma she'en ken b'yadiyas hara, shem yashuvu b'tshuva, tiba. It doesn't prove anything. Because the parak in Yirmiyahu, I'll quote it from a parak in the Rambam. The last halacha in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. The last halacha, the Rambam, the last couple of parakim of Yisodei HaTorah talks about nevuah. Nevuah is one of the Yisodos HaEmunah. Yisodei HaTorah, right? Two of the Animamins are about nevuah. Both the one about Moshe Rabbeinu and about nevuah in general, says the Rambam. Parak Yud Halacha Dalet. Second to last halacha, divrei per anus shahanav yomer kigon sheyomar ploni yamus. So and so is going to die. O shana plonis shnas rav. There's going to be a famine. O milchama or a war. V'chayosi b'dvaram elu imlo amdu dvarav ein bazeh achash l'nevuaso. If it doesn't take place, that doesn't contradict his nevuah. Vein omrim hinei davar v'lo ba. Look, it didn't happen. Shakadosh baruch le'er chapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al ara. Because Hashem is a Rachman, and he can change his mind to save people. The Efshar, and that's separate. And then he says, the Efshar shalasu tshuva, v'nistach lehem ka'anshei Nineveh. Oh, shetlas lehem kechizkiyah. Maybe he forgave them, like Anshei Nineveh. He quotes our parak. Or he delayed it. He was tola on a certain schus like Chizkiya. That's the Gemara Brachas Daf Yud. Aval miftiach al tova. If he said, promise something good, v'amar sheyia kach l'kach, v'lo ba ha-tova sha'amar, and it didn't happen, v'yadua shu navi sheker, then you know he's a navi sheker. She'kol davar tova sheyigzer hakel, afilu al tnai eno choser. If it's a davar tova, even if it's al tnai, it doesn't retract. It's definitely going to happen. Alamata she'bedivri ha-tova belvad yivchan ha-navi. So the navi could be tested whether he's a navi sheker emes only by a Dvar Tova, because Dvar Ra doesn't prove anything. Hu she Yirmiyo omer b'tshuvaso l'chananya ben Azur. This is what the Malbim just quoted. This is what Yirmiyo told to Chananya. Kshahaya Yirmiyo misnabe l'ra. V'chananya l'tova. Yirmiyo said there's going to be a churban, all of it's going to be terrible. And Chananya is saying, no, everything's going to be great. So what does Yirmiyo tell him? Amalo Chananya. Im lo yamdu dvarai ein bazeraya shani navi sheker. If my words don't stand, then it's no raya. Avalam lo yamdu dvarecha. Yodei Shatan of Yisheker, and if your words don't stand, then you'll be known. Shnei Amarim Shemash Mana is the Devar Azeh, and he said, "Chanan, you're going to die that year." That's in Yirmiyo Perach Chavches. But again, that's the Rambam, and that's what the Malbim says was Hashem's answer, so to speak, to Yonah, who says here, well, according to Rashi, that what was he so upset about? Vayera, because he was going to be proven an Avi Sheker. But according to the Radak and according to others, it's really 2 days in. In Pirkei Devar Lazar, the Radak said, no, what is he upset about? He's upset, as the same reason that we mentioned earlier, Rashi quoted at the beginning of the Sefer. He's upset that they did Shuvah, now it's going to make B'nai Yisrael look bad. Or at least give them Ninve the Zchus to be able to destroy B'nai Yisrael later on. Amar L'Hashem Yisbarach. Baruch HaNevuah, says the Malbim, Hashem told him Baruch HaNevuah, Ki Shav Yimashid Gazar Aleihem, and therefore he's upset. He's upset because Bavur Yisrael Shalot Shavu Midarka Mara, it's going to make us look bad. So that's number two. Right? Rashi says, because they're going to think it's an Avi Sheker. The Radak says, because they're going to, it's going to look make B'nai Yisrael look bad. If you look at the Abarbanel has another idea. The Abarbanel says that the problem is, did they really become tzaddikim? They stopped doing chamas, right? That's what the pasuk said at the end of the previous parak. What was the darkam hara? Look earlier in the pasuk ches. V'yeshuva ish midarko hara u'menachamas asher b'kapeim. The chamas, says the Abarbanel, they only did averes from the chamas, the ben adam l'chaveiro. They didn't start believing in God. It wasn't like the sailors. The sailors at least were yari elokim. And maybe they even converted according to Chazal. But here, says the Mal, says the Abarbanel, they were still doing things that they were always involved in terms of Avodah Zarah. Hine, Abakshara, Shechziku, Avodah Zarah Shalohem, Velo Asu Tshuva, Pamesh Shebeinam LaMakom, Shehua Iker, Elba Shebeinam LaHach, LaChavireyem, Vishal Kozenich Mashem LaRa, they were still over to Zara, and still Hashem forgave them. Niskayim b'machshavaso, shoyim asupanim b'davar. Right? It's favoritism. How could you do this? And that's what made him upset. Because only Am Yisrael is supposed to have this special favoritism based on the brisman of Asarim and not other nations. Kihine avod is Zara hua yoser chomer shoy b'neyem. Ve'im lo shavu mimenu. V'lamim kei nicham Hashem. Why did Hashem change his mind? Ala rosh adibar lasos lem. Ein ze elashu nosi lem. Avon upesha yishmarim kishoni. No, they're like the pupil of his eye. Kidei sheyu shevet apo. The Klisa Amoli now came by Yisrael in order to use them as the tool to conquer B'nai Yisrael. Vislonin and Avi Belibona, he was very upset. That's what made Yonah upset. Again, it's tremendous love for Klal Yisrael, and he sees this is not fair. Right? The Gemara says in Brachas, right? Brachas Daf Chav, the Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you show favoritism to B'nai Yisrael? Yisa Hashem Panam Melacha. What does Hashem answer? They show favoritism to me. They go above and beyond for me. They are Mesiris Nefesh, right? Because they really only have to bench on a when they are full. And yet they bench even on a Kezias, even on a Kebetza. But that's what he was upset about in this regard. Good. So that's the first pasuk. What was he upset about? Three pshatim. Rashi, Radak, and Abarbanel. Vayispal al Hashem ayomar. And he turns to Hashem. Ana, it's fascinating that there's silence earlier in the prakim. Again, we don't have time to go through this well. We're not learning Yonah be'iyud so much. But what does Yonah say? Yonah didn't say a word to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened at the beginning of the Sefer? Go to Nineveh. Yonah gets up and runs away. He doesn't even answer. And then finally, what's the first thing Yonah says in the whole Sefer? When it gets when he's on the boat, he goes down. And they say, Yonah, what's going on? Vayomer aleihem ivri anochi. That's Hashem Elokei Hashem Ani Yareish, or also Hashem Amasei Yabasha. That's what he says. He says that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then they fear. Then in Perek Beis, he sings a whole Shavach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now here, Yonah davens. Remember, the previous was just Shevach. But here he does. This is exactly what I said when I was still in Eretz Yisrael. That's why I ran away. Ki adati, I knew you would have Rachmanis. Ki ato kiel rachanun v'rachum. Interesting, chanun v'rachum, not rachum v'chanun. Chanun v'rachum, v'erech hapayim, v'rav chesed, v'nicham alara. And now, according to Rashi, it makes me look bad. According to Radak, it makes Bnei Yisrael look bad. V'yato Hashem, kach naz nashmi meni. Just kill me now. Kill me now, says Yonah, ki tov mosi michayai. Better for me to die. It sounds similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Radak says, it's similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, k'moshe amar Moshe Rabbeinu, alav ha-shalom, mecheni na misifrecha. Right, just wipe me out from the sefer. If you're gonna get rid of them, so get rid of me. Kito Mosi Michaya, right, like Moshe Moshe Rabbeinu. If you're by Bernstein in the Sefer on Shuva, asks why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, just wipe me out to kill me, and Hashem accepted his tefillah. And by Yonah said, just kill me, Hashem didn't accept his tefillah. Right, he said, go to Nineveh and do tshuva. And he didn't. He rejected. He said Yonah was wrong and Moshe was right. By the Chet Ha'Egel. So Rabbi Bernstein suggests by the Chet Ha'Egel, what happened? Hashem wanted to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Moshe says, no, take me instead of them. That's a direct, substitution. And what happens instead? He has Rachmanis on Bnei Yisrael. What's happening here? Yonah says, no, don't send me because that's going to let Bnei Yisrael look bad. And therefore, what happens if Hashem doesn't send him? Then Nineveh gets destroyed. So there's a downside. By Bnei Yisrael, and it was just no downside. So kill me instead. Okay, so Bnei Yisrael is saved. Nobody else gets injured and hurt. But here, if you want to make Bnei Yisrael look good, so then Nineveh is not going to do tshuva, and then Nineveh is going to get destroyed. That's the problem. That's why Moshe's was accepted, while Yonah's was not accepted. According to Rabbi Bernstein here in his Sefer on tshuva. Because Yonah says, Tov Mosi Michayai. There is another person in Tanakh that says a similar statement. And that is, if you look in the Drash David, or David Hafstetter on Moadim, he has an article on Yonah, on this parak, and he says, Eliyahu Navi also says, the same idea, Vayishal as Nafsho Lamus, Malachim Aleph, Yud Tez Dalet, right, Vayomer Rav Ata, Hashem Kach Nafshi, Kilo Tov Anochim Yavosai, right, after the story with Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, and then he goes into the desert, and he's thirsty, so, says the Drash David, what's the connection between Yonah and Elio? So if you think about it, it's amazing. According to what we mentioned in the first parak, Yonah might have been the child, according to Chazal, that Elio was Machaya. So Yonah was alive because of Elio. So Yonah may be looked at as a hemshech of Elio. Shekin chayev shel Yonah mikocho shel Elio hayu. Umitam ze hemshech Yonah is darko shel Elio b'avodas Hashem. They each had a similar idea of b'avodas Hashem. What was Elio known for? Kanoz. He was known for perfection. He was known for, I can't deal with them. And once he reached that level, Hashem said, okay, enough. Yonah also. Yonah, he says, was about shlemus. He wants the complete totality of salvation. And that it develops here the connection between them. But he goes through Eliyahu and Yonah, and not just here. The Radak notes Moshe Rabbeinu and Yonah, but interesting to parallel them to all the different personalities in Tanakh. Okay, I didn't go through that whole the whole drasha there, but feel free to look at it. Okay, so what happens? So Yonah says, I'd rather die. Vayomar Hashem. Ha-hetiv charalach. Are you really upset? Is it good? Are you so deeply upset? Ha-hetiv Rashi. I mean, Mitzvah Sion. Inyan Chozek. Chozek, strongly. Are you strongly upset? Yonah doesn't answer. Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir. Vayesh miketem l'ir. He goes out of the city. Vayaslo sham sukkah. He doesn't want to be there anymore. Right? He's giving musar. Now he goes out. He builds a sukkah. Vayeshev tachteh batzel. He sits in the shade. Ad asher yireh ma'yeh ba'ir. He wants to see what's going to happen. He wants to see what's going to happen. Hashem told him it's not going to be destroyed. So he goes out. And what happens? He's sitting under the shade. There's obviously symbolism here for the shade. Vayeman Hashem alokim ki kayon. And Hashem then makes kikayon grow. Sudas. Shem Esev Sha'alav Gdolim V'Rechavim. A type of plant that has very wide and big leaves that give shade. Vayal Me'al Yonah Liot Sel Arosho. What do you need that for? What happened to the sukkah? So the Radak says, Sheyav Shuatei HaSukkah. Must be that the sukkah's leaves, he built this with branches, it dried out, that it wasn't serving the purpose anymore. So Hashem said to this other one, Latzil Lo Me'ra Aso. Vayismach Yonah Lekikayon. The Yonah was so happy Simcha Gedola. And the Mefarshim point out that originally he had a Ra'a Gedola, and now it's a Simcha Gedola, such a volatile personality in this regard. So Yonah had a Simcha Gedola because of this Kikayon. What happens? What's the message of the sukkah and the kikayon? So Rabbi Rivlin, again, he has a whole sefer on this, but just one little piece. He says, the sun was beating down. The sun is all about midas hadin. That's what sun symbolizes. Strong, even chama and chema have a connection between the two of them. But that's what the sun, beating down. When a sun beats down on something, whatever, the natural effect. It has a natural effect. That's why somebody does sin, there's a natural effect. And we can't forget, says Rabbi Rivlin, that Yonah ran away. He was somewhat kovish nevuaso. Even after now, he says to Hashem, after that, Ani b'kol todah, I'm going to go do it. And now he's upset that he did it. So Hashem, it's really, midas hadin, he do. He built a sukkah. A sukkah is a man-made protection from the sun, but as symbolism, man-made protection of midas hadin. He's trying to protect with his mice and tovim, with his mitzvahs, with a little, but it's not going to work. When there's midas hadin, to try to have protection ourselves is not going to work. Hashem says something to protect. Hashem sends a kikayon, because that's what is needed when we want to protect ourselves from midas hadin, a kikayon, and even that's not permanent, as we know here from the next pasuk. What happens after he's very happy? V'yaman alokim tolas, v'alos hashach l'machor, Hashem sends a tolas, v'yaman, he prepared it, he sent it, in the morning, v'atachas ha-kikayon, v'ivash, and then goodbye to the kikayon, there was no longer a protection. V'hi gizroach ha-shemesh, v'yaman alokim ruach kadim harisha, Hashem sends a very hot wind, v'atachas shemesh al-rosh yonah v'yisalof, and Yonah starts fainting, and again he says, v'yishalas nafsho lamus. Right, this sounds like a different one. Earlier it was because of Am Yisrael, but here it's physically, he's pain, he's starving, he's thirsty. And he says, better is death. Just kill me now, says Yonah. Right, you're so upset about the kikayon. Yonah's like very withered. Yes, I'm so upset. Hashem says, "Ata chasta al kikayon asher lo amalta bo v'lo gidalto." You're so upset that the kikayon wilted. Shebin laila hayu bin laila avad. It just grows and it's not here, it's not there. And what about a whole city? What about a whole city, Nineveh? Right, Nineveh doesn't deserve it. But that's the message. Rabbi Rivlin at the same piece says the kikayon was teaching Yonah, even though there's midas hadin, I'll give you protection anyway. And that's exactly the same message of Nineveh. They don't deserve it perfectly, and they're not tzaddiki yisod olam, but they still are people. And they still deserve chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the hope of one of the purposes that we know of the story, that it's not just the Jews, but it's the non-Jews in terms of the chasdei Hashem. V'anilo achos al Ninveh yerek gdola. So you see, you're upset that I was chas on the kikayon, so I shouldn't have rachmanis on Ninveh, asher yesh baharbe mishtei mesre yivo adam. So many people there. Asher lo yada ben yamino v'lismolo, that don't know between their right and their left. What does that mean? Rashi says it means the children. The Radak says maybe it means tinok shenishbaz. But it was people who behema rabba and the many animals. What animals? Maybe it means people who don't know more than animals, or it means actual animals. Says the Radak. Well, the animals do wrong. So therefore, says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yonah, you should have you're thinking about the kikayon. What about people? And again, Rav Salvechik and the others talk about the Rabbi Bernstein in that piece also talks about the universal message of Yonah. It's about Nineveh. It's about the whole world, and the whole world has a place in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And according to the Yalkut, Yinveh, Yonah accepts this. Yalkut says, even though in the text there's no final word, in the Yalkut, the end, the last line of the Yalkut here in Yonah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo'achaz al Nineveh yirak dola bo sashan nafal al panav v'amar, hanhego lamamcha b'midas rachamim, dechsiv l'ashem alokeinu harachamim v'haslichos. The last word, Yonah had the last word. This is not really the last word. It is, but it isn't. Because the Abarbanel points out that on Yom Kippur, we add in a couple of psukim also. Right? We have the psukim, we obviously lean the whole Yonah, but then we also lean psukim from Micha, which by the time is the next on our list, Micha coming up. But what do we add in? We add in Mikael Kamocha, Nosi Oven over Al Pesha, says the Abarbanel, Vin Yonim Shakarish Barchul and Ninveh, Lohi over Al Pesha, Mocha Vaslech Beheklet. What's the emphasis of those psukim? Hashem had compassion and patience with Nineveh, but it wasn't forever. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar was going to, right? Nineveh was in Ashur. Nebuchadnezzar was going to destroy Ashur eventually. Aval Yisrael, So when it comes to Umos HaOlam, there's a delay. Aval Yisrael b'shuva me'elav, but when we really did shuva, the special magic of shuva, one of the seven things created before the world was created, eino kein ki unosi avon v'over apesha l'chalutin. Hashem makes it disappear. Lo yasakein l'shar agoyim hachatoim b'nafsho sam. V'lachein nekavelo sheyashuv yirachameinu yichbosh avonoseinu v'hu l'zman ha'gu'ula ha'asida. We daven for the day that in the future it'll happen. Hashem will remove all of our chait. Again, Yonah recognizes that there's a place for shuva. For all, and again, it's a big discussion in the Achronim about tshuva for Umos HaOlam and tshuva for Bnei Yisrael. But either way, Yonah learns this message. There's no running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's tshuva for every person in the world. There's a unique connection of tshuva for Am Yisrael. But either way, this are some of the ideas relating to the great story of Yonah ben Amittai. Okay, we'll stop here. B'Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Micha.